Was wissen Sie eigentlich über
What do you actually know about China? I don't talk about Chinese food, spring rolls, panda bears, yin and yang, or Chinese zodiac signs. I mean, what do you know about the perfect digital control dictatorship that has already been installed in China and will be implemented here in the next 5 years, following the example of China? What is being built here already exists in China. And believe me, we need to see this to understand the threat. And that is why we are looking at China today.
Heute nach China.
When we see today that everything that we have experienced as reasonable and practical is being changed, destroyed, and overturned at an unprecedented speed, when everything that we have always considered normal is no longer considered right, then we often ask ourselves where this is going to lead. And if we then look to China, where the oppression and control of its own population is already well advanced, then we can see more clearly where it all leads to. And China has plenty of examples that we can already see in the first stages of implementation here. Specifically, today we are looking at total digital surveillance, the reward and punishment system known as the social credit system. The systematic biological physical decomposition through migration, population reduction and birth control, for example, and
Geburtenkontrolle und
the communist Chinese fight against the right, which is currently being imitated here,
nachgeahmt wird.
When we talk about China today, we here in the German-speaking world don't even agree on the pronunciation. Is it China or China or China? And that's not what we're talking about today, but rather what the Chinese are already implementing in practice, which is still in its infancy here, but which is currently under construction. As I said, digital control, the social credit system, population reduction, and the anti-right movement. If we believe that all of this is still far away, then we should take a close look at the current situation. We should go very vigilantly through today's world in Germany, Austria, and in Europe.
In Deutschland, in Österreich, in Europa gehen.
Life in 2030, smart, sustainable, and fully monitored. The Kultur Token, an app in Vienna, that rewards environmentally friendly transportation. Learning Chinese, Putin test point system for loyalty. Social scoring, these systems are creeping into our everyday lives. What the German Bundestag thinks about the digital euro.
In technology centers such as Shenzhen, China has long been researching and testing a new high-tech, sophisticated concept for total control. Facial recognition, microchips, a state-censored internet, no cash, social credit systems, and even brain monitoring projects are being actively researched.
The totalitarian version of Silicon Valley. Shenzhen launches metro access via facial recognition. Future metropolis Shenzhen, a city between utopia and nightmare.
Shenzhen is something of a new mecca for budding digital dictators, and every crisis has been used as an opportunity to expand its power.
In 2020, the authorities in China have built up a nationwide surveillance state under the pretext of coronavirus protection, which seemed unthinkable just a few years ago, the German daily Taz reported in June 2022. Access to supermarkets only with cell phone registration, cameras that monitor body temperature and identity. Corona ID cards allow or prevent access to public facilities. Total lockdowns for months. Anyone protesting against this loses his money. Accounts are simply frozen.
The German TV news channel ARD, for example, knows very well when it looks at China, something is going wrong there. in China, one can see exactly what is going wrong, and one can see the problems associated with digital control when digital control is primarily in the hands of the wrong powers. Here is an excerpt from an ARD local report from China in 2022.
Protests last week in Xinan, about 700 kilometers from Beijing. Investors who fear for their savings. A failing bank has frozen their accounts. They shout curses at the police wearing civilian clothes. Don't you have parents? Have you no heart? These are all our savings. The problem is, many bank customers can't even attend the protests. They can't get anywhere. Their health app doesn't show the green code. They must be scanned at every entrance to the station. You can only continue with a green code. Red or yellow means that you have coronavirus or are a coronavirus contact person. But for bank customers who wanted to go to the protest, the code jumped to red. Videos on social media show how they are prevented from traveling. The phenomenon is becoming clear. Just being a bank customer is enough to have a red code.
When we open the app, it shows on the left that I am not a customer and have a green code. My wife is a customer and has a red code. In the last few days, my wife has only been in regions that don't have a single COVID.
You see, you can't even take a cab without a QR code on your phone, and you can't even get into your own home without a QR code and the appropriate ID.
How can you scan the QR code in a cab? Fortunately, the cab driver agrees that only one passenger logs in. What happens if someone doesn't? Scan it?
You have to, that's the rule.
But what if someone doesn't have a cell phone?
Then don't take a cab.
However, the code must also be scanned for buses and the subway. The New York Times found out that the app data is sent to the police in real time. And meanwhile, everywhere scanning is obligatory. Even access to the home is monitored. Everyone in Beijing lives inside a fenced-off compound. There is only one entrance. Guards have set up their border posts at this entrance.
I am now talking to China expert Manyang Ng about surveillance in China. He is a co-founder and advisor to the Epoch Times. China is gaining more and more power globally. Domestically, too, it is increasingly relying on a strong state apparatus that strengthens Beijing's power. What role do you think surveillance plays in the everyday lives of the Chinese people?
It plays a big role, incidentally, in the demonstration and then later in the huge suppression of the uprising in Hong Kong. One of the typical scenes was the demonstrators trying to bring down some street lighting columns because all such columns have a surveillance camera hanging on them. Of course, surveillance cameras exist in all countries. Countries all over the world for security and for counter crime and so on. But in China, the number of cameras is many times more. I'm not talking about Hong Kong now. Also, so at least around 540 million cameras. That's the minimum according to all human rights organizations. And also China experts. And the highest estimate is 620 million cameras. And these cameras are all networked.
Und diese Kameras sind alle vernetzt.
All networked, images, and that's just one part. The camera is not the whole surveillance. It's part of the surveillance. And these are networked in a network that the Chinese or the communists call Skynet.
Skynet.
So, heavenly nets. In Chinese, this is called Tianwan. And the Communist Party's demand for the technology to build this is with this Tianwang, these nets, with all this surveillance, this system. So,
diese System sold
no more than 2 minutes.
2 minuten.
To identify every person who is in China.
China befindet.
In China. So maximum time 2 minutes. Normally actually in seconds. So behind this camera is a huge investment. Huge amounts of computers and huge amounts of artificial intelligence, software and hardware. So they are equipped with ultra-modern cameras and artificial intelligence. So they can recognize faces. It's the same system. They can also recognize fingerprints. They can recognize people's gait, which is also interesting. There are 8 billion people in the whole world. No two people walk in the same way, i.e. their gait.
Keine zwei Menschen laufen auf die gleiche Weise, also den Gang. Ne?
And they can also recognize the contours of people. So it's a super, super advanced system.
Also super, super avanciertes System.
The purpose is to maintain a long-term stability.
Zu erhalten.
And that is what they clearly say, to maintain long-term stability. What is meant is that the Communist Party can remain in power permanently.
How do you assess the danger of these developments coming to Europe, and what role do Chinese companies play in this?
Chinese surveillance doesn't just apply to these 1 billion Chinese, but actually to the whole world. That's why we have this huge big data system. And insider information, it was already
for
more than 15 years ago when the Chinese Communist Party leadership has called the largest IT companies in China and their top leaders together for a secret meeting. And the party says all these companies, for example, the telecommunications giants, Huawei, Alibaba, China's largest online shopping.
Alibaba, China größte Einkauf.
Online store, Lenovo, a major computer manufacturer. Many in Germany also use this.
Viele in Deutschland benutzen das auch.
And
Huawei, ja, Huawei haben wir schon gesagt.
All software manufacturers, everyone who uses TikTok. So the company behind TikTok is, I think, ByteDance and so on. All
ByteDance und so weiter. Alle diese
these top IT companies called together and yes, because of our national security. We need to know what is happening abroad. As they say in the old days in China, to win a game, you must know yourself and know others. That is to say,
to gewinnen muss man sich selbst kennen und andere kennen. Ja, so das heißt.
The party then said, all these companies, they must then their collected data
Daten.
Immediately in real time to the huge database that belongs to the Ministry of State Security, and
Ministerien für Staatssicherheit schicken. Ja? Go on, ja?
That means, dear friends in Germany, if you have a computer with the Lenovo brand,
wenn Sie einen Computer mit dem Marken Lenovo, ja?
If you do anything with your computer, everything is registered, even your passwords, your knowledge, that can also be registered, and everything you do with the computer is all registered. And this information is immediately sent to Beijing via the internet and stored.
Internet nach Peking geschickt und abgespeichert.
Surveillance cameras, digitalization, the technology is ubiquitous, and is, of course, sold and celebrated as great progress, just like in this country. But what happens when you couple surveillance technology and digital control with a social credit system, i.e. a monitoring system for any behavior, for a reward system?
The principle behind the social credit system is simple. Every citizen starts with a certain number of points. Points are awarded for desired behavior. Points are deducted for undesirable behavior. The more points, the more freedom you have. The fewer points, the less freedom. The goal, total control, even over people's heads and hearts, because this system is used to deliberately breed the behaviors desired by the state.
Officially, the social credit system was introduced in China to promote a culture of honesty. In other words, just like in this country, it is a noble goal, something good to raise one's moral standing. Think of terms like solidarity and being there for each other. In China, this is labeled as the culture of honesty. And for over 10 years now, Chinese people have had to confirm their purchase with their ID card number if they want to buy a ticket in the metro. So you can't even buy a ticket anonymously in the metro anymore, and that has been the case for over 10 years. The technology is now much more sophisticated. Companies and organizations are also rewarded or punished. Honest companies, i.e. with the label honest, receive better access to public services and financing. Account openings are also linked to the concept of honesty. Dishonest companies are threatened with a place on the list of untrustworthy companies or even an entire industry ban. The social credit system already starts with children. I quote here from a report in the Tagesschau. For example, 10-year-old Manfi has her pocket money on her smartwatch, buys a sweet drink to go with a scan, so the family leaves digital traces everywhere. There are no cash payments. Everything is paid for digitally online. However, points and deductions are awarded for incorrect behavior.
Abzüge gibt es hingegen für falsches Verhalten.
Points are deducted for incorrect behavior. Points are added for so-called correct behavior. For example, if Liu Wang helps an old woman across the road in Jiangsu province, he is awarded 10 points. However, if he demonstrates against the system, 50 points are deducted. Points for donating blood, deductions for arguments with neighbors, critical comments online or speeding, and acquaintances are also allowed to vote. Everything is digitally recorded and registered, and the artificial intelligence, you almost don't need to say that anymore, is considered an official employee of the monitoring system. And nobody knows exactly what algorithms the system has built in, all of which is, of course, completely obsessed to the average citizen who no longer has any way of controlling this monstrous system. This is how the state programs itself for the obedient citizen. Shopping without cash, paying with a smartwatch constantly monitored by cameras. Every second camera worldwide is located in China. Add to this smart homes and a basic income, and the blueprint for techno-totalitarianism is complete. At the touch of a button, everything is gone. Money, house, internet, freedom.
Everything, from refrigerators to cars to people, everything is to be networked via the Internet of Things. In the future, artificial intelligence will take everyday decisions away from us and, of course, be used for total control, for example, via a social credit system based on the Chinese model. This social point system will then be linked to a digital central bank money, as is already being operated in China. The masses of people will then be enslaved via a basic income that is not at all unconditional. This is because the ruling class, or an artificial intelligence, will then determine how much money those who conform to the system receive and how much those who do not. It also determines what the money can or must be spent on and by when.
If you play along and collect a lot of points, you can get better conditions for a loan, for example, or if you have a low number of points, your range of movement is simply restricted. Travel is prohibited, children are simply not allowed to attend certain schools, and there's also the threat of losing your job or paying higher taxes, all based on the social credit system. Millions of Chinese people, for example, are currently not allowed to use trains or planes because they have too much debt. So far, the data has come from public authorities, but the Chinese state is already working closely with private companies. In China, this public-private partnership, this partnership between corporations and the state, has been around for a long time. The state has merged with the large Chinese corporations, going hand in hand. It's no secret, you don't have to explain this anymore in China. In China, close ties are a matter of course. For example, when the US takes action against the Chinese mobile phone giant Huawei, it is clearly taking action against the Chinese Communist Party. There have been countless diplomatic conflicts in recent years. The war is being fought not only through the states, but also through the respective corporations. Preventive control is another topic that is already being developed in China. Algorithms are supposed to predict behavior and thus prevent it in advance by recognizing patterns. For example, Stefan Magnet denies the danger of the coronavirus, so we can deduce that he will not wear a mask or comply with the vaccination requirement. In future, this will all be done digitally. This is being tested in China, for example, with people who have already made critical comments. Potential troublemakers are to be taken out of circulation before they even do anything illegal. I spoke to the geopolitical consultant Herbert E. Martin from Vienna about how China is already influencing the world and Europe. And I will talk to the best-selling author Ernst Wolf immediately afterwards. Now, of course, many critics of the USA will be pleased that the USA is on the decline and that China is on the rise. But will things really get better with China? In the coronavirus pandemic, the Europeans and Americans have copied a lot from China. Lockdowns, masks, everything was already in practice there, introduced here for the first time, until then, unthinkable. Herbert E. Martin believes that the West wants to monitor in the same way. China is simply many steps ahead because it is technically more advanced.
The West was also in the process of building a surveillance state completely. Whether that's via all the social media, whether it's via the DNAs, which all migrated to the WHO during the coronavirus crisis, that means they actually have every opportunity to monitor every person on the planet. So the West has the same goal, but apparently China is only a bit ahead. Apparently China is a pioneer after all. Canada, I was told, is now in the process also installing a social surveillance system. So we are not only dependent on China, but the West has always intended to do exactly the same thing. So the citizens should be monitored and then ultimately made maneuverable at all levels. And that was also one part of Corona. That was the first step to simply make humanity maneuverable. Simply lock them up at home and then tell them very clearly what they must do next. In other words, this is not necessarily a Chinese invention, but the Chinese seem to be much more technologically advanced to actually implement it.
Now I'd like to talk to Ernst Wolf about how far digitalization and surveillance have already progressed in Germany and Europe, and whether, in his view, China could be a potential ally against the globalists. Mr. Wolf, you have been warning for years about the introduction of the digital euro, which could ultimately bring many disadvantages for citizens. Do you now see signs in spring 2024 that the digital euro will actually become a reality?
Yes, definitely. There is one very concrete, very recent sign, and that is that the Bundesbank, the German central bank, which reports to the ECB, has a job advertisement on the internet. They are looking for a head of department for the provision and commissioning of the digital euro. And it also states that there are already 20 people in this department who are working on it. So for me, that is a very clear indication that things will happen very quickly now. And it is also formulated very specifically. It's about the retail CBDCs, i.e. the ones that are to be traded between us ordinary people and no longer the wholesale CBDCs, for which certain tests have already been carried out. So you can see that there really is a lot going on in the background, and they have to do it because the competition is not sleeping. A large-scale trial is currently underway in Switzerland and will be completed in June. The retail CBDC is being tested there. Then we saw the introduction of the FedNow program in the USA last June. So this is continuing at full speed worldwide. India, for example, introduced Digital Europe in 2020, and it is now being made programmable. So all these instruments are practically being added through the back door. So work is being done at all possible levels to prepare us for this new money.
And this digital euro could then be linked to a social credit system. Do you see any current signs that this is being prepared?
Yes, definitely they are working on it. So the social credit system is also adapting things like the 15-minute city. In Germany, Hamburg has just agreed to be a pioneer in the introduction of the 15-minute city. Then we have this whole biometric registration of all of us, which also points in that direction. And then, of course, there are other signs. So we are definitely working on this project in every direction, in every respect, because, of course, we expect major social unrest to emerge soon. We are currently experiencing the highest level of debt ever. We are sliding into a recession. We have a huge wave of insolvencies in the SME sector, and AI is advancing at such an incredible rate that we must expect the labor market to collapse in the near future. And there's no longer any way of keeping people under control by the military or the police. That will definitely be done with the new currency. And if this new currency is then linked to a social credit system, then you have this perfect instrument of oppression. So there has never been anything more perfect for exercising power in the history of mankind.
You are referring to the instrument of domination. In future, people will receive a digital basic income via the social credit system, and anyone who doesn't dance to the tune of the mighty will be punished and receive financial deductions. So anyone who doesn't follow the rules will be disciplined.
That's exactly how it will be. So, of course, you will be able to spend the new money, first of all, at a specific location. For example, it can be tied to 15-minute cities, but it can also be spent for a specific purpose. You can tell people the portion for food only, the portion for rent only, the portion for pleasure only, but you can also tie it to an expiration date, and I'm pretty sure that will happen. So if the social benefits are then issued using digital central bank money, then I'm very sure that people will be told that you have to spend it within a month, because this will also be a way of trying to stimulate the economy. So it's all a convenient construct, which probably won't work in the long term, but which is being relied on at the moment because these major upheavals are expected.
You mentioned the impending upheavals. Do you think the digital euro, the surveillance system, will it all be introduced organically step by step by 2030? Or does the system need a state of emergency, a crisis, something like Corona, to introduce it quickly, abruptly, to create a fait accompli, so to speak?
It certainly won't be introduced organically. And the tests that have been carried out so far already point to that. We have the sand dollar in the Bahamas. Today, the sand dollar is used to the tune of 0.5% compared to the amount of cash in circulation. So that was a total failure. Then we had the Jamdex in Jamaica, which was introduced in 2022. That experiment also went wrong. The retailers were even given gifts of money. They still didn't accept the money. And then the first large-scale experiment was undertaken in Nigeria. In October 2021, the e-naira was introduced. And that led to people fleeing to cryptocurrencies in droves. And it has led to major distortions because the cash has become scarce. There were street battles. Around 13 to 14% of the population have now accepted this wallet. So that means that 85% of people are still not prepared to accept the money. And that's why I'm quite sure that the next crash will be used. This next crash will be deliberately brought about and will be used to force this new money on us all.
Mr. Wolf, you have lived in China yourself. Do you think Europe is learning point surveillance and control from China?
Yes, definitely. China is quite a bit further ahead because the structures from the Maoist era still prevail in China today. In other words, very centralized structures, so they don't need to worry about many things that are actually still partially intact here. After all, we still have a parliamentary system, albeit one that has been hollowed out, but they can decide directly, i.e. dictatorially, what happens. And that's not the only reason why the economy is running so fast compared to all other countries in the world. Of course, the introduction of digitalization and the manipulation and control of the population is much easier there than here.
One last question in this context. What do you tell those people who are pinning their hopes on China that they say, yes, China could be an ally in the fight against the globalists in the West? Is such a hope justified in your view?
Aus Ihrer Sicht berechtigt?
I would simply recommend that these people travel to China and see what happens there when they go to a checkout in Shanghai and then pay by facial recognition. I mean, it's a dystopia that's actually worse than what is described in the novel 1984. But most people who aren't betting on China right now are betting on the BRICS countries. China is the largest of the BRICS states. But the situation is no different in the other BRICS countries. India has dealt the biggest blow ever to cash. In India, the digital rupee is now being made programmable. Russia is also introducing the digital ruble in April of this year. They're just doing it under different ideological preconceptions. But the agenda is the same everywhere, whether it's in China, the USA, Russia, or India. And one very interesting phenomenon is the World Economic Forum in the background. Because the World Economic Forum trains the world's political and cooperative elite, and the largest proportion of young global leaders from the World Economic Forum come from the USA. The second largest contingent comes from China. And you can see that there is incredible cooperation behind the scenes. So this whole contrast between these two large systems, which is being presented to us, actually only serves to fuel the arms industry. And behind the arms industry, as we all know, are the big asset managers and the big IT companies.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf, for these, as always, very clear and concise explanations.
Gerne.
And you can buy Ernst Wolf's book on the aforementioned problems of the World Economic Forum, the world power in the background, in bookshops, and of course in our OF1 shop. Here, Ernst Wolf has explained and summarized in detail some of the things he could only touch on here. Now we move on to the next topic. We have discussed digital control and the social credit system. Now we come
jetzt to
the population reduction. When coronavirus was over in China, digital surveillance was by no means over. It was not abolished. It was introduced then and has not been abolished since. The New York Times wrote about the Xinjiangization of China. Xinjiang is a region in western China, and the Uyghur Muslim minorities live there. And the Uyghurs are systematically oppressed by China. Many in the West are also talking about genocide.
Viele im Westen sprechen auch von einem Völkermord.
The demographic genocide of the Uyghurs in China. Uyghurs are tortured and raped in China. Chinese automobile companies are involved in forced labor of Uyghurs. Human rights, how China is trying to eradicate Uyghur culture,